Hey, Anna.
Hey, Gabby. Welcome to our next episode of the JLV Showmarine podcast, made exclusively for our most generous and committed supporters.
That's what this podcast is all about. This is one way we are saying thank you to all of you who joined Showmarine this year. Because of your support, JLV is empowering families every day to make Judaism meaningful and relevant for themselves.
As you know, in each episode, we explore different ways Judaism impacts our lives. Don't forget to visit our website for materials from the episodes and to learn more about our guests at jewishlearningventure.org/podcast.
In today's episode, we're going to dive into some really interesting history that is part of the story of Jewish Learning Venture. I'm excited to introduce everyone listening to someone that Anna and I get the pleasure of working with every day, Charlie Hirsch. Charlie is one of the newest members of the JLV team and serves as our amazing administrative assistant. In addition to their work at JLV, Charlie is our resident historian and previously worked as a museum educator at the National Museum of American Jewish History. Charlie has a master's degree in public history and a bachelor's degree in religion. Charlie, welcome to the JLV Showmarine podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Welcome. It's so great to have you on here. Gabby and I get to work with you and learn from you all the time. I'm so glad that our Showmarim have this opportunity to learn with you as well. So today we're going to talk about a sort of celebrity of American Jewish history, Rebecca Gratz. What's really interesting about talking about her on this podcast is that JLV is actually directly tied to her work.
So interesting. Charlie, tell us why Rebecca Gratz is connected to our work. I know some folks listening might have heard of her and others may not have.
Rebecca Gratz is personally one of my heroes, an amazing role model for using one's place in society as a member of a wealthy and prominent family towards doing immense good. She is also a role model for how she approached interfaith relationships in her life. And yes, among her immense accomplishments in her life, one of those led to the creation of Jewish Learning Venture, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Rebecca Gratz, she was born in 1781 to, as I said, a prominent and wealthy family in Philadelphia. Her family was relatively observant. They attended Congregation Mikveh Israel, which still exists today at Fifth and Market. She was an incredibly accomplished philanthropist who was deeply tuned into the needs of her community and her efforts to meet those needs through organizations like the Female Hebrew Benevolent Society and the very first Hebrew Sunday School continue to influence the Jewish community today. The Female Hebrew Benevolent Society still operates today. And as we all know, the Hebrew Sunday School has forever changed the way we educate the next generation.
It's so interesting that you mentioned interfaith families in her life. Can you speak a little bit more about her interfaith relationships?
Yeah, one of the reasons I admire Rebecca Gratz is for her philosophy about what interreligious relationships should look like. She developed this from maintaining relationships with friends of different religions, having a strong sense of Jewish identity, and also seeing the many ways that other Christians and Jews interacted poorly. So Rebecca Gratz lived during what I would call a pretty wild time for Christians. We now call this period the Second Great Awakening. It was a revivalist movement that sought to bring people closer to Christianity. For them, going to church wasn't enough. One had to have personal experiences, reject sin, accept salvation, and so on. And one large aspect of this movement was using Christian values towards social reform. This is the precursor to the social gospel, which you may be familiar with during the progressive era. The spirit of religious benevolence led many to become involved in improving the lives of others, but this also became a vehicle for conversion. A group home for orphans might have daily prayers, for example. And Gratz wanted to ensure that those in need were able to access life-preserving resources without the threat of proselytizing. She also knew that for Jewish children, education was the strongest tool for them to maintain their identity while interacting with Christian children. And this perspective led her to create all of the organizations she's known for today, like the Female Hebrew Benevolent Society and the First Hebrew Sunday School. At the same time, Gratz interacted frequently with non-Jews, and she did so generously, but with very firm boundaries. We have one letter she wrote to her sister-in-law, Maria, in 1833, where she recounts a conversation with her Christian neighbor, who was pleasantly surprised to learn how similar the Hebrew and Christian Bibles were. And surely this is why Rebecca should read the Gospels and convert. Rebecca is very gracious. She calls her neighbor Ernest, but she concludes, "Thank God I have the law and the prophets and am willing to hear them." She firmly believed that true religious equality required mutual respect. She respected the Christians in her life, but she demanded their respect as well. She pushed against the assumption that people of different religions should not get along, which a Christian man told her was, and I quote from a letter in 1837, the usual system of mankind. But she used her devotion to Judaism as a shield and tether against others who did not share her philosophy. And one reason for this tether was her education and her access to Jewish materials translated into English. And this realization fueled her desire to start the Sunday Hebrew School.
Charlie, this is an amazing story. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Hebrew Sunday Schools?
Yeah, the first school opened in 1838, and even on that very first day, she already had 50 students. They ranged in age from early childhood to teens, and Gratz served as a superintendent and the secretary. And what I think is probably the coolest thing that is that Gratz only hired women to serve as teachers of the co-ed classes. And remember, this is at a time when there were pretty strict societal rules for what women could or could not do, and where and when in public they could be seen, and especially for unmarried women. So Gratz only hiring women provided them a form of autonomy and responsibility and bolstered one of the few women-dominated professions at the time. Additionally, it provided a lot of really amazing mentorship opportunities for the young women who worked at the school. And this model for Hebrew Sunday School, which started in Philadelphia, it quickly spread, and similar schools were founded soon after in other cities across the country. And like Philadelphia's Hebrew Sunday School, these schools were also led primarily by women. That first school in Philadelphia managed to last from 1838 to 2013, a full 175 years. But even then, the story doesn't stop there. If we follow the various organizational mergers that have happened over the years, we can trace the lineage of this very first Sunday Hebrew school to Jewish Learning Venture. So in a way, it's thanks to Rebecca Gratz that you're listening to this podcast at all.
Wow.
And actually, I've brought a text with me about why Rebecca Gratz was so passionate about Jewish education.
Cool. Well, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so this is an excerpt from the annual report that Gratz wrote for the Female Hebrew Benevolent Society in 1835.
Yeah, and we'll put this on the website as well, so you can actually see a copy, those of you listening, on our website at jewishlearningventure.org/podcast.
Yeah, the excerpt reads, "The lack of education shuts the door of advancement, which an Israelite might obtain in this country, and the sum of our highest ambition may even be the wiping off of that stigma, when enlightened Jews mingle with the inhabitants of the land, respecting their own laws and practicing the virtues required of the chosen people of God. The grain must be sown before the harvest can be reaped, and if we are only employed in the humblest occupation of preparing the soil for future seasons of prosperity, our labor will not be lost to that all-seeing eye that searcheth out the smallest seed of good."
Charlie, I have a question about this text. When she's talking about the mingling between Jewish people here in those early days of our country with their Christian neighbors, I'm imagining that this is a pretty different experience than what what Jewish people experienced in Europe. Is that right?
It absolutely is right. You know, this is a very different experience of Jews pretty much anywhere else in the world. In the Russian Empire, for example, at this time, Jews are restricted to living only in the Pale of Settlement, and there are heavy restrictions on what jobs they can have, how long they can go to school, and so on. If we look at the history of Jews in America, what makes that history so unique is that in America, Jews don't have these restrictions. You know, there are certainly still some restrictions and stigma. For example, if you've seen the movie The Gentleman's Agreement, that's one example. But in America, it's not nearly to the degree that it would be anywhere else in the world. So this ambition that Gratz has, that there is this mingling and this equality, it's a very realistic ambition that might not have been as realistic in other places in the world.
And I can imagine too that without her leadership in saying we need a place to form Jewish identity, that there might have been many families who, you know, were proselytized because there wasn't that structure to give the children a sense of what being Jewish is all about. It's so different than living in an insular community.
Absolutely. Rebecca Gratz saw this lack and filled that need. One of the issues for families at this time for learning about Judaism is that there wasn't a large selection of materials available in different languages. Pretty much all materials about Judaism were in Hebrew, which is not a language that everybody spoke. Rebecca Gratz was very close with Rabbi Isaac Leiser of Mikveh Israel, and he was one of the first people who translated the Bible into English for people who only spoke English and not Hebrew to read and learn. And so part of the Hebrew Sunday School was taking these materials and making them more available to a larger group of people. And another thing that strikes me about this passage is that Rebecca Gratz is sharing her thoughts at all. If you look at all of the organizations that she's involved with, she typically took on the role of secretary in each of these organizations. She did that with the Female Hebrew Benevolent Society. She did that with the Hebrew Sunday School. And one of those responsibilities as secretary was to take minutes and also write up the annual report, which is what this excerpt is from. And she often used those annual reports as a platform for her thoughts. So remembering that this is the early to mid 1800s, Rebecca Gratz was an unmarried woman, there were societal restrictions on how and where and when she could share her thoughts. And so she specifically took on this role as secretary so that she could share her thoughts, like the importance of a Hebrew Sunday school, like the importance of education.
It's extraordinary when you were describing not only how she empowered other women, but how she took on this role, right? And as the leader of the Sunday school, as well as the secretary, that as an unmarried woman, she really stepped into it and claimed her power. It's really incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks to how well-tuned she was to how society worked, that, you know, she couldn't necessarily go up to somebody and share her thoughts, but she knew that she had this one avenue where she could do so, and she took full advantage of it.
Wow, that's really powerful. So Rebecca Gratz was really interested in education. Tell us about what were her thoughts about why that mattered and what ought to be happening with the children in terms of education?
Rebecca Gratz saw this difference between how Jewish children and how Christian children were being raised. At this time, there was a pretty robust educational system for Christian children. And coinciding with the Second Great Awakening, there was this real concern about children of different religions interacting in a way that would make the Jewish children susceptible to proselytizing and conversion, you know, if they don't have a strong Jewish identity and they're hearing all about Christian identity, there was a real concern that they might start to adopt this Christian identity. And so in a way, for Rebecca Gratz, talking about education and improving the quality of education and having it exist at all was a way to help children to learn about their own culture, to learn about their own religion, and to develop a love of their own culture and religion, and to strengthen them so that they can have these relationships with people of different religions, but also know that they don't need to become that religion, in the same way that Rebecca Gratz had relationships with people of all different religions, but she had her own knowledge of her identity and her own culture as a tether to keep her connected.
So that definitely sounds like it still rings true today. Her philosophy from 200 years ago, we're still feeling a very similar pull. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I want to actually highlight one of the sentences that she wrote in this excerpt, where she says, the grain must be sown before the harvest can be reaped. To her, it is so important that we need to start educating children now so that they grow up into informed adults. And I feel like we're in a turning point at the moment for what Hebrew school pedagogy should look like. You know, for many teachers, so many teachers are doing the hard work of reevaluating what they're teaching and how to create the biggest impact. And a lot of teachers might be wondering what impact they might be having. And all the way back in 1835, Gratz acknowledged this. You know, sometimes we don't see the positive effect that Hebrew school can have on children. And sometimes that positive effect doesn't happen until years later. But even if we haven't gotten to the point of planting that seed, you know, maybe we're still preparing the soil, and that's okay. You know, Rebecca Gratz is saying that no matter what we're doing, the seed of good is still there. And even though she didn't necessarily have her own family, you know, she's still interacting with lots of children and still impacting so many families. And so, you know, she still absolutely got to enjoy that in her life.
Such a powerful story, Charlie. Thank you for being with us on the podcast today and sharing your insights.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to all of you who have joined Shomrim and are making all of our work at JLV possible.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.